Happy Resurrection Sunday. Hey, I've got something for you here, Pastor Zach and I. Now, the thing is, you can't open these until everybody has one, then we'll open together, okay? So just go ahead and take a resurrection egg, and just don't open it. Remember, don't open it until we're all ready. All right? Good job. There you go, Levi. Can you reach that? There you go. You got one? You guys got one? Don't open it till we till you all get one. Go ahead and take one for me. There you go. How are you kids today? Huh? So these are filled with something light and airy. I'm sure you're gonna enjoy it. There you go. Did you get one? Everybody get one? Well, we got a couple more. Okay, these are resurrection eggs. Four down on the end that didn't get them. Okay. All right, almost ready. Filled with something nice and airy. Good thing he doesn't have big hands there to have been gone. All right, on the count of three, go ahead and open them. One, two, three. What'd you get?
Nothing.
What? Nothing. Well, I didn't lie. I said they were full of something light and airy. So what do we say when there's nothing in there? They're what?
Empty.
Exactly. They're resurrection eggs. In a little while, we're going to read a story from Mark's gospel about the women who go to the tomb, and the tomb is? Yeah, the tomb is empty. And that was no joke. This was kind of an April Fool's, wasn't it? Yeah, today's April Fool's Day. But that was no joke. The tomb was empty and Jesus is alive. He's risen. Yeah. He's risen from the grave. He's been given new life even after death. That's what we celebrate today. We celebrate Jesus who is with us still. He's with us still. So I actually have another egg for you as you go back, and that's got some good stuff in it. But before you do that, let's pray, okay? I'll pray and you can pray after me. Ready? Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for giving us your life, for giving us life. You are awesome. Wonderful, beautiful, and we love you. We praise your name.
The Holy Gospel for today comes from Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Resurrection. It's a tough concept to swallow. It's a tough concept to believe sometimes. In fact, there are days when I find it hard to believe at all. Life out of death. New life coming out of the tomb. But honestly, I think that's fair. The women that we'll meet at the tomb this morning, well, they struggled too. And I think every generation since. Resurrection is a tough concept to get our heads around, to believe, to trust. So this morning, connecting the resurrection with time travel then may even be more difficult for you to believe. But early this morning, I entered a time machine that I'd been tinkering with, and it just so happened that the coordinates that I plugged in landed me precisely where I wanted to be, at the intersection of Jerusalem Way and Garden Tomb Road. So here's my story. I didn't realize that the time machine would change my wardrobe, but it has. And upon my arrival, I had a momentary blackout, and I awakened to three women standing over me, wondering who I was, why I was dressed like one of their men, but looked like more like a Roman soldier, and what I was doing at the intersection, in this intersection, in the wee hours of the morning. As I came to, I heard those female voices, and I said, Mom, is that you? Then I realized, of course it's not my mother. This is a strange place. And then suddenly something happened. I just recognized them, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome. It's you. It's so nice to meet you. Who am I, and where am I from, and what am I doing here? Well, who am I and where am I from? Well, that's a bit hard to explain. I mean, I'm from the future. But let's not worry about that right now. You don't need one more thing to try to believe this morning. So let's just start with the question of, what am I doing here? I'm here to meet you, ladies. I'm here to meet you. You see, my congregation, okay, you don't know what a congregation is. It's kind of like a synagogue gathering, but my congregation's been following a Lenten journey titled The Road Where Faith is Found. And we've traveled the wilderness road, that place of stark barrenness. And we've traveled the path of suffering and experienced some of the suffering of our Lord. And we've seen some road signs along the way, one that read running on empty. Another read, love paves the way. And still another read, transformation ahead. And I thought that if I could come here and meet you this morning, I might just discover that moment in history when faith was born. So I'm hoping to travel with you to see the disciples and Peter. And then I'm hoping to go with you to Galilee and see Jesus. How do I know about all of that? Well, you've just been to the tomb, right? And it's empty. No Jesus. Only a young man dressed in a white robe who told you he has been raised. He is not here. He has gone ahead of you to Galilee, where he will meet you as he told you. You see, I've been reading your story in the Bible since I was a little boy. And I wanted to meet you, and I wanted to talk with you, to experience a little bit of what you must have experienced this first resurrection morning. Yes. Yes, reading your story in the Bible. Well, it's sort of like the story book of God that God's people read, and yes, you're in it. You're in the book. Let me show you. See, it's right here. In the gospel, according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter, it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome, that's you, went and bought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. But he wasn't there, was he? Yes. Yes, I said the gospel according to St. Mark. Why? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You mean you're telling me that Mark was a young man who often followed Jesus around? And he was there on the night when Jesus was arrested, and when the guards saw Mark, they tried to arrest him too? You've just made a connection for me. That's who's talked about in the story in chapter 14. It's right here. Let me show you. It says, chapter 14, verses 51 and 52, a certain young man was following Jesus, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. The guards caught hold of him to arrest him, but he left the linen cloth behind and ran away naked. And now you're telling me that you, as you think about that story, you think you recognize John as the young man who was in the tomb this morning, who announced to you that he is risen, he is not here, he has gone ahead of you to Galilee. And you're telling me that's how Jesus often did things. He took the place of others in suffering and in shame, and he gave them his place in the abundant life. So you want me to read the story of who? Joseph of Arimathea. That's right here too. Yep, let me. Chapter 15, it begins in verse 42. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. This is after Jesus has died, isn't it? Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought... Then Joseph brought the linen wrapping, the linen cloth, and taking down the body, he wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in the tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. You are boggling my mind this morning, lady. So let me get this straight. In his death, Jesus was clothed in the linen cloth that Mark left behind the night Jesus was arrested. And in exchange, Mark, on Easter morning, was given Jesus' white robe, which symbolizes his new birth, his new life in Jesus. I have never made that connection in my life. That makes an awful lot of sense. And it reminds me of Jesus in other parts of this gospel. In chapter 1, Mark tells the story of a man who has leprosy. And he's been banished and exiled to live outside of the community, outside of the city. Once Jesus heals this man, he calls him over, he touches him, he heals him of his leprosy. But once he does this, this man is restored to his life, to his community, and we're told that as that happens, then Jesus can no longer go into the city, but instead is exiled to the lonely regions of the countryside. Jesus took the place of that man, and Jesus gave that man his abundant life. And I'm starting to realize that's exactly why Jesus died on a cross. He took my place. He took my death, and the death of all sinners upon himself. And in exchange, he gave us his life. What did you say, Salome? I'm not quite sure that I heard you. It's as if you're not quite sure that you believe it yourself. Did you say, and that changes everything? It's funny that you'd say that. You see, the youth of our church, our congregation, yeah. So a church is a group of people who follow Jesus, who believe in him and trust in him. The youth of our church, they are going to be going to Houston this summer. And they are going to gather there with 30,000 other youth from churches across the United States and the world. Yes, that's only a portion of them, Salome. There are millions of people now who claim to follow Jesus. The theme for their gathering this summer is "This Changes Everything." And I just realized that the "this" is Jesus' death and resurrection. It does change everything. For me, it means that because Jesus is alive, there is more to do with my life than to preserve it. Jesus saying about those who keep their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for his sake will keep it, is starting to make more sense. I suppose for you women, it means that you can't let your fear win, that you can't let your fear keep you from opening your mouth and telling Jesus' disciples and Peter what you've seen and heard this morning. For our youth going to Houston, it means they will give themselves into the healing and recovery of that city that has suffered so greatly from terrible flooding in the past year. For my church, back in my home, it means that our purpose for existing is not to preserve ourselves or the institution, but it's to build community in the name and likeness of Jesus Christ. That is, community that works for the healing of all people, for all of creation, and a community that is willing to give itself into that mission. Are you ladies all right? You're looking a bit overwhelmed right now. I know it's hard to see how this is all going to turn out, but the news we've heard this morning, the good news that Jesus is alive, reminds us that we are not alone, that we don't have to do all this on our own and in our own strength. All of this reminds me of a story that Martin Luther King Jr. used to tell. Well, or I guess he will tell in about 1930 years from now. But at any rate, he will definitely be a servant of Jesus, and he and others will be working for human rights in the 1960s. He calls this story the story of Sister Pollard, a 70-year-old African-American woman who will live in Montgomery, Alabama during a bus boycott that will become famous. One day, after walking significant distances daily for several months to get herself to work because she was participating in the boycott, Sister Pollard was asked if she wanted a ride. When she answers no, the person who asked will respond, "But aren't you tired?" To which Sister Pollard will answer, "My feet is tired, but my soul is rested. My feet is tired, but my soul is rested." Sister Pollard will live the resurrection life. She will move beyond her fears and trust that God will fashion a way out of no way. And she'll celebrate the promise that a new world is unfolding. This, I think, is what the three of you ladies are doing. You're trusting in God to make a way out of no way. Your feet surely must be tired. You've been on the road since the crack of dawn. Yes, yes, I know. But your souls is rested. That's what the good news of the resurrection does. It gives us hope that things will change. And that hope gives rest to our souls, even in the midst of the struggle. You know, ladies, I don't know If you know right now what you're going to do with the good news that has terrified you this morning. Terrified you, I think, because indeed it does change everything. But I'm pretty sure that by the way things have turned out in my world 2,000 years from now, that you're going to find the disciples and Peter, and you're going to tell them just what happened. And you'll be going very soon, I think, to meet Jesus in Galilee. Would I like to come with you? I would love that. And that's what I was hoping for by coming here this morning. But I see now that you ladies will do just fine without me. God is with you, and you are courageous in your faith. And I have a congregation, back home who is traveling the road where faith is found, and I can see from our conversation that, like you, we have some decisions to make about what we'll do with the good news that we've heard this morning. Will we keep that news to ourselves, or will we be faithful and courageous like you will be? Sisters, I will pray for you and for each generation that even when our feet get tired, that our souls will be rested in Jesus. Because I can see that the journey is just beginning. We've come this far by faith. And I can see that the world needs the good news that has been entrusted to us. And so I'll travel ahead with you on the road where faith is found. But I'll do it with my congregation in 2018. Peace be with you, ladies. Peace be with you, sisters. Dear brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.